This audio production is presented by Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church in Ocala, Florida. For more resources, visit us online at gspcocala.com.
Our sermon passage today is from Deuteronomy 13, 6 through 11. If your brother, the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or the wife you embrace, or your friend, who is as your own soul, entices you secretly, saying, "Let us go and serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, some of the gods of the peoples who are around you, whether near you or far off from you, from the one end of the earth to the other, you shall not yield to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him, nor shall you conceal him. But you shall kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. You shall stone him to death with stones, because he sought to draw you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and never again do any such wickedness as this among you." May his word give us life.
If you would, bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, in your mercy and your kindness, you have given us your word. Would you now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us through your word? Open our eyes, our hearts, our ears, our minds to hear from you. To let go of the lenses, the preconceived notions that we have, to release the attempts to define you on our own, but instead let us hear you for who you are and glory in that. Father, give us the grace to know you rightly. Would you give me the grace to speak truly and by the power of your Spirit because of the work of your Son? And would you shape us according to your word? In Christ's name, amen. So I asked you a couple weeks ago, and I'll ask you again, what is the right amount of zeal? What's the right amount of passion when it comes to following God? We answered it last time with Deuteronomy 6, that you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might. This morning, our passage, let's be honest, that's a difficult one. If you're visiting, if you've not been with us and know that we've been in Deuteronomy, we don't just grab these passages at will and talk about stoning our children. It's the first time we've done it, as far as I know. What we're doing is we're walking through the book of Deuteronomy, and we are just now really getting into the section that's considered the law code. It's the real practical case laws that they begin in chapter 12 and go all the way through chapter 26 of Deuteronomy. It's the bulk of the book, but we've done a lot of setup because you need a lot of setup to be able to receive commands like this. You need to be reminded, as Moses has been doing, of the grace of God, of the ways that he has taken a stubborn people and brought them to the edge of this promised land, where he is going to take them into the land, not because of their faithfulness, but through his grace in the midst of their stubbornness. How he promises that they must have the law on their heart, that they must have new hearts, their circumcised hearts, so that they can follow this law. But then he goes into what we're going to be in for the next about 4 weeks, where we're going to take the case law, the laws that really begin to elucidate, pull out what the Ten Commandments said. So some people will take the book of Deuteronomy and organize it from chapter 5 and say the rest of it is taking each commandment in order and really pulling it out, fleshing it out. What does it really mean to obey the Sabbath? What does it really mean this morning to keep the first commandment? To have no other gods before us. What does it really mean? Where does the rubber meet the road? Where does the nitty-gritty really happen? And what we see in this passage is that it's one thing to quote Deuteronomy 6:5 and to know that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's another thing to say, I do love the Lord with all that I have. But then when you get to the very practical nitty-gritty of what that looks like, we come up against hard sayings. We come up against challenges, and that is not something specifically tuned into passages like this in the Old Testament, where the laws are archaic by definition, and so we struggle with them. But even in the stories of Jesus, people would come up against him, and he would say, to follow me, you must take up your cross. To follow me, you must eat of my flesh. To follow me, you must give of everything and come follow me then. And it tells us time and time again, the difference between the disciples and everybody else is that everybody else runs up against the hard sayings and says, this is too hard. The disciples say, this is hard, but this is life. We have no hope anywhere else. And so when we come up against a hard saying, I want to invite you to let go of those preconceived notions, those ideas that you have shaping God, and instead let him shape who he is for you, even when it runs up against things that you find highly offensive. Some of you may need to take one of your children and bring them close for the next 20 minutes or so, okay? Because he is, I told my parents are in town. I said, I didn't pick this passage just because you're in town. I love you, but this is just God's providence that it's going to tell you that you get to stone me if you need to. But perhaps to really understand the gravity of this, you need to remember your child beside you, your brother or your sister or your dear friend, and remember the weight of what he is calling us to. As we look at each one of these laws over the next few weeks, my hope is not that you'll hear this, okay, so I'm supposed to go get rocks and have them in case I need them? No, I'm not going to tell you to stone anybody today, okay? Okay? All right, I'm just making sure. We got a lot of rocks lying around here. But my hope is that as we study these case laws, is that you will begin to see the beauty and the wisdom of God. That you won't get caught up in the, oh my goodness, he said to stone his best friend. No. If you'll begin to see, okay, what is the wisdom in this? What is the beauty in God's order for his good kingdom that he is setting up? How is this teaching me about God, about myself? How is it teaching me about the world around me, the challenges that are in front of me? And as that comes together, as you see the beauty of God, as you see what he's teaching, that we would learn the joy of obedience, that we would learn that this is the life God is giving to us in eternity and glory, a life where we have no other gods but him. The law is quite simple. If you weren't able to pay attention all the way through the reading, the summary of this law is, if anybody ever comes to you and invites you to go after another god, kill them. I wanted to say it a better way. I wanted to say put them to death or something like that. But it says, kill them. So what do we do with that, right? First, the first idea I want to put in front of you is to be aware of the situation. To be aware of the situation that he's talking about. So what's going on here? Again, God's people are in the promised land. They've gone into the promised land, and this is law. This is the law for when they've crossed over and they're living there. This is how to follow God and keep him first. So the situation is that a friend comes to you, or a brother, or a sister, or a son, or a daughter, or your wife comes to you and says, let's go after another god. They entice you, the word is. They come and try and draw you away secretly. Because if a law like this is on the books, nobody's going to run around saying, hey, let's go somewhere else, right? But they come secretly. And the language is such that it's not somebody saying, you know, I wonder what happens over there. That they are fully convinced and they are trying to lure you in. They are enticing you. Which sounds kind of crazy, right? After all that God has done for these people, the ways that they know him so deeply and intimately, that anybody would say, hey, all these gods that we've just destroyed, maybe we should go after them. Maybe we should start worshiping them. It sounds crazy, but it's not, right? It is the standard and the greatest temptation from the beginning. With Adam and Eve in the garden, the temptation was not simply to take a bite of something they weren't supposed to take a bite of. But what did the serpent invite them to? The serpent said, when you do that, you will be like God. In other words, you'll have another God. The temptation is quite simply the ultimate, right? It is to follow after another God. And it wasn't simply something that happened back then. It happens for us day in and day out. The temptation to go after another God. The temptation to go after something that will get you into the land where God dwells by another way. Something that will get you into glory, get you into paradise, get you into eternity, get you to where life works the way you want it to. Any other way than the way God has prescribed. That is a God. That is another God. The things that we look to that might help out. For the Israelites, it would have been pretty easy. They go into this promised land. They go into this land where God says, I am the one who will make it rain. I am the one who will make your crops grow. I am the one that will sustain you. But as they go and conquer from city to city and each people has their God that maybe is the God that makes it rain, or the God that makes the sun to shine, or God that makes the crops to grow. And it would be natural for any man out there working in his field, any family that goes and watches and waits to see if what they plant will grow up, to think maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's an additional way. I wonder what the gods of the people before did. And so for us, it's just the same, right? You have your hopes, your dreams, your desires. Whether it be security, whether it be power, control, or comfort. You have the things that you want, and perhaps there's a better way. Perhaps if I am able to gain enough, I can hold off the dangers that are outside. Perhaps if I've convinced enough people that I'm okay, then I can keep away the fears of rejection. All the things that we try and find to give us the joy of the promised land instead of what God has prescribed. The reality is, you and I face this every day. The situation that we have to be aware of is that this is our life. It is not something that just happened a few thousand years ago when little idols were walking around and people were saying, follow this God, follow that God. But no, everywhere we go, every situation we have, somebody is inviting us to go another way, to do an end around a way God has laid before us. So the situation is quite simple, that we are being enticed to go after other gods. So we need to be aware of the situation. We also need to recognize the stakes. The stakes are pretty simple, right? Life or death. This is a matter of life or death. And again, it always has been. What was the punishment for Adam and Eve if they chose to go after another god? You will surely die. This is not some made-up thing that God wanted to be harsh on, but it was always and always will be. If we pursue other gods, there is nothing but death there. As Paul says in Romans, right? The wages of sin is death. The pursuit of another way is death. what's at stake when someone offers you an end around? Is they're offering you death. Life and death are on the table, but not just their life. In this situation, it's not just if somebody comes to you that they're risking their life to invite you to go after another god. But in the verses that follow this, Moses gives them actually three examples of when somebody might come and try and entice them away. But right after this, he talks about a city where someone has already come and enticed away. And so the whole city goes after another god. And he says to the Israelites, if you hear of a village, of a town, of a group of your people who have gone after another god, you go and you find out, have they done it? And if they have, you put that whole city to death. Because the stakes are not just one person, but the stakes of following another god are the entire community. So that when one person comes and says, let me show you another way, let me teach you how that you can do this with God and a little extra, you're not just putting their life at stake, but they're putting everyone's life at stake. But to give us the gravity just a little bit more, he doesn't just say it's somebody, right? If your enemy were to come to you and say, let's follow another god, it would be much easier to say, I'm going to grab a rock. If somebody that you just worked with and sometimes they got on your nerves, you might think about it. But he shows you the weight of it by taking it to the place where you don't want it to go. If your son or your daughter, if your brother, if the wife whom you love, if the friend who is like one who is attached to your soul comes to you. It's meant to give you the gravity of what it means to go after another god. And I think for us that runs up against one of our great idols, right? One of the places where we like to say this, say to God, this far and no further. Our children. Yes, the Bible quite simply is saying, if your child comes to you and says, I want to go after another god, your job is not their safety. Do you know this? Parents, our highest calling is not the safety and security of our children. Some of you may be easily assenting to that. But if I go after your kid, you might think differently, right? When we talk about things like school safety, let me tell you how many of us immediately go to the table with, one of my biggest jobs is to keep kids safe. What the scriptures teach us is not our job is to let kids get hurt, but our chief responsibility is to have no other gods but Him. So that if the safety of my child or the glory of my God is on the table, I have to choose one over the other. It's fun to talk about when Asher's in your arms, right, Ben? It's not easy. But this, again, is a place where you have to let the word shape your heart instead of your heart shape your God. I mean, what kind of God would want a father to kill a son, right? What kind of God would dare let his child die, right? You picking up on it? Our God would let his son die to redeem for the safety of all. It's not like he's asking us to do something that he's never tasted. He's saying the glory of God is the utmost importance. So that when we hold on to things that we think are, you know, God really wants me to keep this, maybe Maybe we need to let the scriptures shape us a little bit more. The stakes are so high that there is nothing that can get in the way of God being the ultimate for us. And there is everything that is trying to get in the way. So what do we do? Death. The situation requires death. This is one place where we'll talk about the detail of studying Deuteronomy in light of being New Testament Christians. There are places where there's laws that are given that can only really be properly executed, no pun intended, by the state. And when we are not a nation state, we don't have the authority to execute certain laws in certain ways. So that in the New Testament, and I'm not going to take the time to pull this out. We can do it some other time. I'm happy to talk with you if you don't trust me on this. But in the New Testament, where in the Old Testament execution was the command, in the New Testament excommunication becomes the command. Where in the New Testament the law prescribed that someone must be stoned, in the New Testament the law prescribes that someone must be put out. But death must occur. I do want you to note the responsibility here. Verse 9. Who gets to do it? Who's responsible for this? If your friend entices you, you put them to death with your hand. Personal communal responsibility. You don't get to say, hey, I think there's something going on over there. But instead, we must care for one another so that we are willing not to hide them, not to conceal them, but to confront. And if you begin to taste that weight, if you begin to taste and feel the gravity of the responsibility of having no other gods but God. Because what's at risk is your family and yourself. And for those of you who did dare to bring your child close, you can feel that weight and you know in your heart, what do I have to do to make that not happen? How do I live in such a way that I don't have to face that question? And you find yourself being willing to die so that your child doesn't have to die. You find yourself, if you see it rightly, being willing to go to whatever ends it takes so that you never have to face this question. That's part of why it's there. Is to give you the gravity of what it means to go after another God, to pursue another way, to find another hope. Yes, it sounds harsh. But if you would, hear it from the voice of the one who gave his son. Hear it from the voice of the one who was willing to let his death be the one that had to happen so that ours didn't. So how do you apply Deuteronomy 13 in your world, right? Again, no stoning people. If you're taking that, take anything. Don't stone people. But how do you deal with that? Where does that meet your life? Quite simply, one, you have to be aware that this is your world. That there are things calling you to other gods all the time. And we could list all the thousands of things in your life, but notice Moses doesn't. He doesn't say anything about what gods are calling him after because the key is not to know all the other options, but to pursue the one. You know when you're pursuing the one. Be aware that you're being drawn after other gods in every way. And know the stakes of it. Know the stakes for the ones around you, that they too are being drawn, they too are being enticed, and you are responsible for them and they for you. And the way that you find freedom in that is through death. Dying to yourself to be willing to protect their souls. Giving everything you have so that they know what's at stake. Being willing to have your own death on the line so that they find life. We find the power from that in seeing him putting his own life on the line so that we find life. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, this indeed is hard to chew and hard to swallow. It goes against so many of the natural and normal everyday ways that we operate. And so we ask humbly, God, that you would shape us properly. That we wouldn't simply write it off as Old Testament stuff, and we wouldn't simply write it off as that's only for the zealots. But we would humbly allow you to shape our hearts, to challenge us, to show us the places where we are willing to compromise and go after other gods and let our friends do the same because we don't want to die. Father, let us see what's at stake and let us see you paying the price for it. In Christ's name, amen.